Hello, and welcome to the Carolyn and Joe Show. I'm here with Joe.
Hey,
Joe. Guess what?
What?
It's July 24th, 2009, and it's 10:05 p.m. On the East Coast.
Exactly right.
East Coast rocking.
And you know what? It's been 7 months and 24 days since it was the last time it was just me and you doing the show. Yes, tonight.
Really?
It is just you and I.
It's our anniversary of 7 months of being away from each other one-on-one.
That's right. That's how we're rolling today.
I didn't count all that time in between.
Well, I just figured I could keep those days, add them together, and it's been a long time since it's just been you and me. I'm not sure how we used to do this when it was just you and I doing the show. I don't even know what our show is about, to tell you the truth.
It's like Seinfeld. It's a show about nothing. Whatever we want to talk about, I guess.
Do we really talk about nothing?
I don't think we don't talk about nothing, but it's more of like, we don't have a structured format, so we can talk about anything.
There is a structured format, because I remember, like, you know, just like any other thing I do, there's like a vision of what I want to put across. But now when I think about the radio show, I'm thinking like, because it used to be something where like, oh yeah, we can promote our own things, but we barely ever promote our own stuff, you know. We barely promote that, like, you know, that we're you know, an awesome duo that makes comic books. You're a designer and an illustrator, and I'm an award-winning multimedia artist, and you're an award-winning designer.
I'm a multimedia artist too.
And you're an award-winning one as well. You got the Scholastic Award.
Yes.
You got the Scholastic Award. I didn't get the Scholastic Award. And you know who's in line with Scholastic? Jeff Smith, one of our heroes, Jeff Smith.
Hey, Joe.
Hold on.
I want to talk about this music in the background.
All right, let's talk about this music in the background. Let's put it up a little bit. Never take it easy. That's right, the dead motherfucking weather, ladies and gentlemen, the dead weather. I love the fucking dead weather.
So tell people about what the dead weather is.
Well, one of my heroes is Jack White. I love the White Stripes. I love the Racketeers. But then, those two bands were off. Those two bands have taken a little bit of leave of act, you know, they've taken a little
leave
break.
Leave of absence.
They've taken a break from the limelight. And Jack White, you know, he has another story that goes behind it. But basically, he created another band in which he's the drummer. And he has a female singer. And he has the female singer from The Kills, the bassist from The Racketeers. And the keyboard, what are you doing? You lowering your volume? Am I getting too loud?
I'm hiring my volume.
Am I getting too loud?
Well, continue.
Well, basically...
Tell your tale.
I mean, basically the dead weather. I love the dead weather because, I don't know, to me it sounds like a mix of two of my favorite sounds in the world. I think it sort of sounds like it's a female singer that's with almost like a Rage Against the Machine, like, you know, fierceness to it with Jack White. And I'm like, That's amazing to me. That's a combination I've been looking forward to for a long time. I didn't know I needed it. I knew I was reading rumblings about that, like, throughout the whole world. It was like, the dead weather. I was like, I fucking love that name, first of all. The dead weather is such a badass name. It's such a badass name. I didn't hear any of the music, but I read an article in Entertainment Weekly, or was it Rolling Stone, and all I saw was a shot, an image of the band, a four shot of the band. It said the dead weather, and I was like, that band's fucking awesome already. I didn't give a shit. I didn't even know when this album was coming out. I knew I wanted it then and there.
And what happened on the day the album came out?
Let's take it even further back. Let's take it even further back. First thing, it was July 4th. We were chilling over in Charlestown, over in West Virginia, betting on the horses like we do all the time. You know, we gamble a lot. But I was that thing, you know, I was like, oh, the dead weather, their album is coming out. We're like, I want to go to New York. Maybe we should go to New York, go to one of their listening parties that's happening on July 14th. And I looked it up, you know, and I was like, oh, that's a good reason. And then you brought up the fact of, like, I don't really want to just go to New York to, like, hang out with a bunch of people listening to an album. And I was like, that's a pretty damn good, you know, that's good reasoning. There's good logic behind that. And I was like, man, when are they going to be playing in D.C.? Lo and behold, with Carolyn's new, like, iTouch, we looked it up right there in front of the horses, that the dead weather was going to be playing at 9:30 Club, not only on July 14th, but on the 13th.
Yes.
A duo show, side by side. But I was like, screw that. We only need to see him once. And also because you've been doing improv, you're doing improv classes, so we couldn't do it on the Monday anyway.
Yes.
But still, immediately after I got back, bought that ticket. Didn't even think about it. Didn't even look at the price. I did look at the price, but it wasn't worried about the price. I was like, I'll get that money back some other time. But I was like, it was definitely there.
So we saw them on the date that their album dropped.
Yes, when they dropped, we saw the Dead Weather.
And, live.
Know, live. And not only that, but, you know, the people that we are, we're like, hey, maybe we'll get there a little bit early. You know, maybe we'll get there a little bit early. So there's about 15 people in line while we got there because we were going to go check. We were going to eat something. So we got there early. So we went to Ben's Chili Bowl, which is
my favorite restaurant in D.C.
That's right. Ben's Chili Bowl down on U Street. Is that U Street? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Down U Street in D.C. Not that far from 930 Club. Fell, went in line. Not only that, but my major fear of parking.
Let's make some more intense talk about Ben's Chili Bowl.
Well, we'll go back to that after we talk about this.
The parking.
Because basically, I have to proclaim July 14th one of the greatest days of my fucking life. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to say that. We're going to say that that was probably one of the greatest days of my life. Ben's Chili Bowl. I wasn't feeling stressed out like I usually do towards any other show that I was going to. I felt good. And I was like this. And then not only that, I got paid on that day. I barely heard some of the music of the Dead Weather, but that also, I bought the CD that day and listened to it. So it's one of those things of like, wow, this is an awesome album. I really enjoy it. It has Zeppelin. It has Rage in it. It has an awesome, like, freaking, like animalistic female singer. It's just there's combinations all over it that I really enjoyed. So I was like already pumped up. And then usually the fear I have about going to a concert or anything at a club is like in DC. I was like, where am I going to park? Where are we supposed to park? And of course, as like the gods shine down upon me, I got a freaking perfect parking spot.
Rock star parking, right there. We parked pretty much like as close as you can to the band's van.
That's right. We were like right there. And that's like 20 feet away from the front door of a 930 club. And it was perfectly timed so that we don't have to like, you know, because parking goes away like the you know, it was like to 6 o'clock and after 6 o'clock, blah, 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 you know?
Yeah.
So we were able to make that work for us. But not only that, not only were we already in Rockstar parking and already probably cherry picking a perfect spot to be inside since there are only 20 people in line, but while we were sitting there in the front, a white van pulls out and we're like, oh, there goes the bassist. And, you know, we could tell that this was the Dead Weather's like posse because we can see the guys in the suits. So we can see just like how the White Stripes had their crew dressed in all suits and tie and the color red. This one they were wearing blue. But then from deep inside, we could see Carolyn was like, it looks like Sideshow Bob inside there. And I was like, that's motherfucking Jack White.
We basically saw the silhouette of Jack White.
Yeah, we saw it and we were like, huh. And then that van goes away. And then when the van came back,
like it probably just went around one block.
Yeah, went around the block and then came out.
And came back and then he got out.
And then and then he came out. Freaking Jack White, one of my heroes, that is written as one of my main heroes, walks out. Black shirt. What type of pants was he wearing?
He had like striped pants.
Yeah,
like stripish plaid.
Yeah, like stripish plaid pants. Looked completely badass. Sunglasses. It was an amazing moment. I think
it was more striped than plaid.
It was awesome. It was really, really cool.
And then the van also like had assistants taking more things out of the van.
Yeah, not only that, but then the van. So we were like, oh, I wonder where they went
shopping.
Right? Yeah. So we were like, Why would they be leaving? And then, just like a perfect, you know, poem, that came out. Two bags that have red and white and a Target on it. And I was like, that's perfect, so man. You went to Target.
We know
dude.
That Jack White likes to shop at Target.
Or they
it's
or
been
the,
confirmed.
Or the band likes to go to Target. But it was so
either
perfect.
Way, he was probably there.
Yeah, it was really cool. So when we got inside,
and they bought fans.
Yeah, they bought
like
fans.
Air conditioning type fans, which they never used on the
but
set.
When we as soon as we got inside, right there, we saw the opening and the crowd. And for some reason, I mean, this is pretty close to the center of the stage too. There's an opening, and I was like, we're gonna go right there. This is prime parking in like any venue when your arms can go over the front railing. dead center. Dead center to see the dead weather.
In the front row.
That's right. Dead center, front row to see the dead weather. And you know what? While we were rocking out there, there was moments where we could basically grab Allison's hands. There are several songs where I thought, like, oh, she's looking, like, directly at us. She's, like, 4 feet and looking and doing her creepy thing in our face. And I was like, oh, this is so crazy. And it was possibly the greatest live show. I'm gonna put it down on the radio show and say, like, watching the dead weather, dead center, right in the front row, was my all time favorite, like, concert experience of my life. And there was no one pushing me in the back to being a bitch. No fat punk girl trying to be cool, you know. No dumbass behind me doing anything. I was there to enjoy. I was front row. I was like basically 2 feet away from Jack White and Allison. It was freaking awesome, man. It was a good moment.
Do you want to talk about the opening band?
Yeah, I'll go ahead.
It was this band called Screaming Females. And when they first came out, like, I have to admit, you know, I'm going to be judgmental because when I'm visual, so when I look at someone, I'm going to be like, what the fuck?
How'd they look like?
So basically, this girl that came out. I honestly thought she was like 16 or 17. And she came out wearing like a polka dot, like, housewives type dress.
She sort of had like a bobbed haircut too, right?
Yeah, she had like a bobbed haircut with like her face in her eyes. It kind of was like the haircut that the boy has in Almost Famous.
He looked like the Almost Famous boy.
Yeah, the Almost Famous boy, the little boy reporter.
Yeah.
In Cameron Crowe's Almost Famous. Yeah, that's her hair. And so she had like this little housewife's like 50s like polka dot dress, which is, you know, it was like a cute dress, but you don't really see people wearing that these days. And then she had Mary Jane shoes on. And then
Mary Jane shoes. I didn't even notice that. What are those?
They're like, should I Google them for you? I don't know really how to really describe
them. I really don't think the audience can see that computer, but maybe, just tell them what you think how they look like.
They're kind of like two-toned, or at least hers were like, let's see. Mary Jane Watson's the first thing that comes up.
Of course.
But I forgot to type in shoes. Here we go. Here's the Mary Jane shoes. Well, hers...
I don't know how you describe
it. Joe, my sound went all out in my headphones.
Completely out?
Yeah, completely. Oh, now it's back. Okay. Well, anyway, her Mary Jane shoes were like two-toned. No, I don't think they were heels. I didn't really pay like 100% attention to her shoes, but it was like black and white type toned.
But basically, these aren't really rock and roll shoes. You know, these are more like...
They're kind of like hipster, but... Whatever. I can't really perfectly describe her shoes, but they looked like from the 50s or something.
Okay.
Like, black and white. And then, the two guys, then there's two other guys in the band. There's, like, a drummer that has glasses that just kind of looks a little bit dorky.
Yeah.
And then there's, like, the bassist kind of looks like Jason Segel.
Yeah.
And he's really tall. So, but the two guys I didn't really think, you know, they just look like basic guys. There wasn't really anything strange about them necessarily. But then the girl, like, I didn't think she was, like, strange or anything, but she was definitely different. And then when she started playing guitar, I was like, the first two songs, I was just stood there like...
But why did you just,
like,
stand there?
What the F am I watching?
Why?
Basically, this girl is, like, a master guitar player. She can play fast as hell and, like, shred.
She's an abomination of, like... Absolute.
It's like a
monster of this awesome guitar,
like,
playing.
Like, imagine.
It's like, it was pretty ferocious. She was pretty ferocious.
Like,
you know?
You look at her and you think, like, oh, that's a cute little sweet girl. She's like 16, and then is a monster.
Yeah, and take in mind that I've never, like, I barely even paid attention who the opening act was. I didn't do any research on who the opening act was. And then when she came out and started, like, just basically tearing up smoke was coming off her guitar. That's how impactful her guitar playing was.
Yes.
It was amazing, man.
It was, I mean, it's one of those things.
I stood there like I saw a mushroom cloud. That's how I looked at it.
Basically, like I said, after the first two songs, I kind of, like, you know, got more, like, used to what was happening.
Yeah.
But the first two songs, I just, like, stood there. Like, I couldn't even, like, move or anything. I just stood there, and my eyes just, like, watched her.
Yeah. I mean,
like, my head didn't bob or anything. I'm just like, oh my gosh, you know, look cool. at this girl's talented.
And you know, and like a lot of times I look around, there's like all these people who are, you know, talking like they're in bands too, and they have long hair, you know, and I wouldn't really expect them to be, you know, I'm like, oh, these guys are going to be really tough because, you know, DC is a tough town for, they've seen it all. And these guys are freaking headbanging like crazy and just moving. I'm like, damn, this, yeah, they set it off. Like, that opening band set it off. And then the Dead Weather came in and basically, you know, destroyed the whole world with their music. Good shows, man.
Also, like, after the show, I wanted to learn more about Screaming Females because I wanted to know how old that girl was because she looked pretty young. I think she's like 22 years old, but she definitely looks like Almost Famous Boy.
But it's, you know, it's definitely one of those looks, almost Famous Boy.
Yeah. But, I mean, I don't know. I just can't believe that, like, all, you know, I guess I was prejudging her. Not like I didn't have any, like, I didn't know what she was gonna play, but I just wouldn't think that that would come out of like a little girl like that.
It was like, rah! But it
did. And even her singing, she was just like, rah, da, 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 da. I don't know. I can't sing like that.
I had like completely no idea what to expect over there. You know, and it's one of those things.
And she even had on tights, like, you know, like.
And she would on her guitar strap. She also had like her high school photo, or no, or like elementary school.
Somebody like a kid's picture.
But it was,
yearbook picture.
But it was definitely one of those. It was definitely by far my favorite like concert experience. And I've seen a lot of concerts, and I've filmed a lot of concerts and stuff like that. And this one was by far my favorite experience ever. Thank you, Dead Weather. You guys are amazing.
In my review of the Dead Weather, like, I wasn't familiar with all the songs because the album just came out that day. But I really like that "Cut You Like a Buffalo." Cut Like a Buffalo song.
Yeah.
The one that we opened the show with. Like, that song is, like, probably my favorite song out right now. Like, at the moment.
Of all time.
Not of all time. But at the moment, like, I actually think it, like, could be in the top songs of the year for me. So, I really enjoy that song. And then overall, just, like, I got the feeling that the whole show was on fire and we were, like, in with the flames.
That's right. So it's definitely one of those things. So I had to, after that show, and you know, very few times after the show I'd buy any merchandise.
It's basically rock that sounds like Lucifer
or voodoo on fire. It was really it was very powerful too. It wasn't, you can tell that they weren't just pretending, that they were there. They meant to prove something, you know, and I thought that was really... So it's basically that show and Rage Against the Machine, seeing them return.
What about their instruments?
What do you mean?
The Dead Weather's instruments.
The Dead Weather's instruments, I mean, that's the thing, is they have, like, with anything that Jack White does, it's a complete, like, package deal. You know, he's really good at envisioning the sound and envisioning, like, the overall presence of the band. And I think that's such a great thing, because a lot of... It feels like a lot of bands these days, they just don't care sometimes, and they're too busy being something else besides a package deal, you know? And maybe people are like, oh, they're doing it for the money, so they do that. Well, those guys are idiots who say that.
So you got a Third Man Records t-shirt?
That's exactly what I got, because, like, I looked at that logo. It was cool because we turned around while we were in the front row, and I was like, what? There's, like, a banner above the merchandise, you know what I mean? It was, like, a big, like, Third Man. You know, and I love that's one of my key numbers too, is like number 3. It's like we got that connection, so it's really cool. Jack White is definitely one of my heroes, you know? Not a lot of people would agree with that, but then again, I can choose whatever I want. You know what I mean?
Why would they not agree that he's your hero?
Well, they would not agree to how good he is, you know?
But didn't Rolling Stone magazine name him like the 17th best guitar player?
I have no idea. I don't pay attention to Rolling Stone. That magazine's all small now. It's a small-time magazine now.
Yeah, I don't like how they changed their format. I don't really ever want to bother reading it now. I don't really
enough
think
of this garbage. I'm not gonna, like, pay just because you
prime.
now because you look just like Cosmopolitan.
Now because you have little boy writing for you. You have a little 15-year-old writing for you, missing his graduation. His mom's all worried.
And his sister is Zoe
Deschanel. You know what one of my favorite parts in that movie is? where he's like in the bed with the groupies, and then like the Rolling Stone
and they're all
editor,
like, deflower, deflower.
The editor like calls him from Rolling Stone, and it's like this Asian like, guy, and he's like, "This is the editor of Rolling Stone magazine.
This is the." This is the
May I speak
Rolling
to
Stone?
The little boy who's writing an article? But he didn't know about that, that he was
is
a little
that,
boy.
Like the girl picks up, she's like, "Hello." He's like, "Hello. Hi." What's the character's name?
The little boy?
Yeah.
I don't remember.
He's not a little boy, but he does make it sound like he's like nine or something.
Doesn't
like
he look little though?
Yeah, but he's 10. He's supposed to be like, no, he's supposed to be like in high school. He's not 10.
Wasn't
not
he,
old
he's
10
like
year
just
old looks
graduating.
Like.
He's just graduating high school because remember he missed his graduation.
And he's but,
so he must be like 17.
No, but wasn't he? Didn't he graduate ahead of time? That's like his character.
Oh, yeah. He's, so he's like,
didn't Cameron Crowe like graduate like ahead of time or something like that? It's based on him, right?
Yeah. True.
It's based on his.
So how old do you think he is? 15?
Yeah, I think he's 13, 14.
Really? That young?
That's how old he's supposed to be, isn't it?
That's like graduating really early.
Yeah, he's a genius.
Like 4 years early?
Yeah, people do that all the time now.
Dang. Well,
they couldn't wait to pass that test. that's what it is.
Anyway, one of my favorite parts from that movie is like when that Asian guy's like, "This is the editor of a Rolling Stone magazine."
what was his name?
The little kid?
No, the real character of the Asian dude.
Don't know.
Is definitely that. I like Cameron Crowe. Cameron Crowe is one of my. I don't know how to describe him in my order of favorite directors, but I definitely think he's a director that has his own. You know, he has his own voice. Of course, it's Cameron Crowe. But when I watch his films, like you know, I've seen a lot of films, and these days a lot of films are downers, man, or they're trying to be so dark, and they have no hope. I think a lot of films I watch these days, there's no hope in it anymore. And I think with Cameron Crowe films, they have hope in it. And I think that's really an amazing thing.
Do you know what the Asian guy's name was?
No. Asian man? Asian man?
Asian man.
He's Asian man.
Remember Jimmy Fallon was in this.
That's true. So was Jason Lee.
True.
So was the Hulk.
So was Rainn Wilson.
Was Rainn Wilson in it?
Yeah.
What was he?
He was David Felton.
Who's that?
Was he the the manager was Jimmy Fallon, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know who Rainn Wilson is. Maybe we have to watch it again.
He's like, "Do you know how to put on a worldwide tour?" No. you could have sued them for millions or something like
Guess
that.
Guess who else was in it?
Who? Dave. I never pronounced that last name. Barshell.
Barshell.
Barch.
Remember he was that guy that was like,
it's the undeclared guy.
Yeah. He's like,
"Hey, look, it's the fat guy from Lost."
Oh man. Speaking of the fat guy from Lost, I heard he was at Comic-Con. Let's talk about Comic-Con, the event that is going on right now.
Going on as we tape this show.
Yes.
Place to be, and we're not going to be there yet.
So what have you
a little bit out of our price range at this moment?
What have you heard about Comic-Con this year? We're giving you the inside scoop.
I don't think they have comics this year.
No, they don't.
There's no comic books
in
this channel.
And I just want to voice in public that I got Entertainment Weekly Comic-Con preview, and I did not see anything about an actual comic book in it. I only saw movies.
Well, because you know what? That's not, you know, Comic-Con, San Diego International Comic-Con, whatever. Is not about comic books. They're about properties and characters now. They don't care about the books. Did you hear this bad review? Like, have you ever? What have people said about Artist Alley? Is there even an Artist Alley in San Diego Comic Con?
There is for the people that care about it.
I haven't heard
that. Pay attention.
You never hear anything about that. I don't even think people go to see.
Well, we know
comic
some
books,
people
comic
that
books
are there.
Over there. But like, all I've been hearing is like Johnny Depp, Tim Burton. I was like, okay. I mean, they're awesome. I mean, you know, it's really, don't doubt, I would love to go to Comic-Con San Diego, and I will in the future. Like, we'll represent, like, big time, multi-dimensional, we will. But it's, you know, that San Diego Comic-Con is San Diego Hollywood Con, you know? San Diego Movie Con is what it should be.
I mean, there is no denying the glamour
Nothing
behind
that.
That.
I'm a filmmaker.
There's no
and
denying
I make,
the glamour behind yeah. that, because you can say, like, that would be awesome when we're there.
It's the but place to be.
But at the same time, if Johnny Depp is there...
I want to be there, too.
Yeah. It's like... It's hard to really compete against Johnny Depp.
That's right.
And Joss Whedon was there. Who else was there?
Cast of Dexter was there.
Dexter, Lost.
You know, Jim Lee. I bet all the comic book greats. Yeah, the fat guy from Lost is there.
You know what? Because I was telling Joe the other day, I was like, man, how much you want to bet, like, I swear he's probably heard it before. Just some guy walking by him being like, hey, there's the fat guy from Lost.
Dude, no, he's like, that's all he's known for. They're whispering, like, behind, hey, is that the fat guy from Lost?
Yeah, look, that's the fat guy from Lost.
What's his real name?
I don't know. Something. Didn't you say he? Jorge Garcia or something.
Jorge Garcia.
Who knows?
I mean, he knew it. Like, when he got cast for that role, he knew.
I mean, even his character.
He'll be known as the fat guy from
Lost. His character
Nothing
knows
against
he's
him.
Fat.
I really like his character. Like, we've started.
Yeah.
Carol and I have, like, the story since the last 5 weeks. A lot of stuff has happened, actually, since the last time we recorded the show. A whole hell of a lot. 5 weeks ago, that's a long time, man. I went to jail. I went to the moon. I've been to a lot of places. Michael
Wait,
Jackson
did
died.
What did you go to jail for? Oh, yeah. We should talk about MJ later.
No.
Just for a. Can we just talk about it for 2 minutes?
All right.
I mean, it's been over.
We'll talk about the second half. So people have to wait. They'll
the
have
second
to wait.
Half meaning the second show?
No, just the second half of this right. show. Or
just,
whatever
just
it is.
Just remind me.
But basically, there's been a lot of stuff that's happened. We're not really. We try to structure this show. We try not to talk about very trivial in and out moments. But whatever. This is going to come to air in a couple days anyway. Who gives a fuck?
Yeah.
But, Now I'm completely lost.
I'm talking about Lost.
I was talking about Lost. Yeah. Yes. So what happened was, everyone's always been talking about Lost. Everyone loves Lost. Your mom loves Lost. You know what I mean? Your sister loves Lost. Everyone loves Lost. You know, it's that and American Idol. I don't give a fuck about American Idol, but Lost has been like a show that like it's intrigued me. I'm a fan of J.J. Abrams, and there's a lot of people who are not a fan of J.J. Abrams. But whatever. I watched Felicity in the first two because that was solely for Amy Jo Johnson. But one time, while I was crashing at a friend's place, he left the first season of Lost just like hanging out. I was like, you know what, I'm gonna check out this show. This is like probably like 4 years ago or something like that. I popped in the first disc, I watched it, I was like, this is freaking awesome. This is really an amazing show. I put it down because I was like, from what I hear from everyone else talking, is that this show doesn't have a definite ending. So I was like. Crap, so I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait until the show is over so I can buy the whole entire series, as in one. I'm going to save my money. I'm going to put it in my piggy bank, and I'm going to save my money so I can buy it all in one full swoop. But then 1 week in Target, they had seasons 1 through 4 for $25. I was like, the moment is now. This is my moment to buy it. But you know what happened? When I saw that price, they were all sold out. I was like, fuck, man. I was like, this is why I lost my moment. So I looked at Carolyn, and I was like, do you think the sale was going on in the this other Target? And then Carolyn was like, I don't know. What do you think? And should I buy it? And you're like, well, it's up to you. And I was like, all right, we're going to go over there, and I'm going to see what they have. They had seasons 1 and 4. I was like, God, that sucks, man. So basically, we started putting the pieces together because it was an overall thing. I guess because the season just ended. So we put them, we were searching, and we bought all of them 1 through 4. So now we've watched the first, and we're almost at the end of the second season. So what are your opinions, Carolyn, from what you've seen, from your first impressions of Lost? This is a good opportunity because a lot of people have seen Lost, but I bet they've forgotten how it used to be when it first started.
So
when
you first heard of, what year did Lost first go on the air?
I forget.
Was it like 2004?
I don't think so. I think it was like 2005 or something.
Really? Okay, because when I was working in DC in the district,
that's 2005.
Okay, but I remember people talking. Okay, so I worked in DC from 2004 to 2005.
Yeah.
And so I remember people talking about Lost, like in the water coolers and stuff, like in the little kitchen area. And I have to admit that the people that were talking about Lost always sounded really douchebaggy to me.
Really?
Yeah. And in my head, I was like, F if I'm going to watch Lost if these people are watching it. Because it was just like a water cooler talk. They're like, oh my God.
I mean, that's
you see what was on Lost that night?
You know,
oh, yeah.
and that's one of the things that like happened to me too. Like,
they
I was
didn't
like,
talk like that though.
But like, you know, if everyone's all into this show and I was like, you know, I haven't really, before I watched it, you know, like I was like, man, if all these people like it, it's probably crappy. You know what I mean? All these people are watching ABC or something like that. It's probably a crappy show. But then when I first saw it, I was like, it's different. You know, it's worth it.
Yeah, I just like sometimes when like too many people talk about something, like in the case of American Idol.
Yeah.
Or some huge like pop culture phenomenon. You know, there's certain times where I can respect a huge thing, like Michael Jackson dying or something. But, like, in general, I've never really been intrigued by, like, So You Think You Can Dance, American Idol, yeah. and stuff like that.
All those rip-offs of MTV shows.
Yeah, I never even liked, what's that one where they all live in a house together that they're filming in D.C. now? For
Real
MTV?
World?
Yeah, Real World. I never really cared for it. I don't know. I just don't really care about reality shows.
That's true.
Well, anyway.
Me neither.
Anyway, so, but, you know, it's still got, like, people talking about all those shows. So, like, when Lost came around, I mean, I honestly, the only thing I knew about it was that it was, like, a plane crash and everyone on an island stuck on an island. That's really pretty much the premise of like, everything I knew.
And when but it first came out, I was never, like, is this just a ripoff of Survivor or something?
Yeah, know? Yeah, that, oh, yeah, true. That's the other thing that discouraged me. I never really liked the show Survivor, so I was like, oh, yeah, so basically this is just, like, a scripted Survivor. I'm like, they're just trying to play off of that, which they probably were, to be honest with you.
Most likely. I mean, Hollywood's all about exploitation. Why yeah. not just push it further?
So, you know, so I was not really interested in Lost to begin with, and like I said, I just didn't really want to join in with, like, all the people from my floor working, and they're just like, hey, did you watch Lost last night? Oh, that was crazy, man. The hatch. Shit, and like, I'd hear, like, little things about it. Like, I remember people talking about a hatch. And, like, you know, I never really put it together, but I just remember, like, and not like I was observing everything that they were talking about, because I honestly didn't care.
Yeah.
But I just remember, like, plane crash on island, survivors, and, like, everyone's trying to fight for their life or whatever, and then a hatch. And that's all I knew about it. Anyway, so we started watching season one, and then, like, I have to say, the show is very intriguing, and I like how we can watch it on DVD, and we don't have to worry about commercials or next week's episode and forgetting what happened in between and stuff. We can watch it at our own pace, at our own time.
And that's one of the main things that was, like, that really attracted me, just to owning it, you know what I mean? Because it's one of those shows where I don't have to... You know, I really just can, like, sit there and enjoy it straight through. Like how I enjoyed, like, the last couple seasons of Angel. Each one was a cliffhanger. And that's how this is mainly all structured. But this way I can watch... We've watched, like, 7 episodes in one day, you know?
Is that our record?
I don't know.
I don't know if we've done seven.
I'm not really paying attention to what the record is. But, like, it's one of those things. But it feels good because, like, you get more fulfilled without having to wait, and that's always a good thing. But when you first started watching it, what were your thoughts, like, in the first episode? What were your opinions?
There's
of that?
A couple times where I was scared of, like, the others.
What about the island itself? Were you afraid to go into, like, the island, or, like, you know, to the wooded area?
Yeah, when there was, like, whispers and stuff, and then there's, I thought the moment that I thought things started really getting weird was when I saw the polar bear.
Like, in the first episode?
Was that in the first episode?
Yeah.
I don't remember what was exactly in each episode. I kind of watched it in, like, a more flowy way. But, yeah, like, I guess that was, I guess, the turning point where I was like, whoa, something is weird about this island. Like, I'm like, what the hell type island has a polar bear on it?
At least for me,
I thought it was awesome, but, yeah.
At least for me, when I first saw, like, the first episode, I saw, like, the first episode, the pilot, the most expensive pilot ever created, I was like, they're hitting the buttons that I like hitting as a filmmaker and as a person. Like, I like to make films that I like to watch, and they have, and I love mystery. Like, I create, that's the type of mystery I like to create, is like the mystery, you know, like this type of mystery they haven't lost, where it's not like this, you know, they don't pull the cheap tricks. There's a little bit of that weirdness in there, but also I love the fact of how when it gets dark, they exploit darkness, you know, because it's the unknown, and I dig that. That's what got me. Like, the first night when the plane went down, everyone's looking out into the, when they start hearing that the sounds and the trees falling down in the island, at that moment, that was, like, what got me. I was like, this show is awesome. If they keep up this tone, I'm gonna watch this shit forever. Just like in Firefly. Like, the moment that got me when I watched Firefly is when Malcolm tricked the doctor into thinking that Kaylee's dead, and it was a joke the whole time. I was like, that moment is, like, when I was like, I'm gonna watch this show forever. That's why.
But also the cool thing about Lost is sometimes with, like, big ensemble shows, I admit I watched a couple episodes of Heroes, and they were probably all out of order and all, like, not functional with my brain.
Yeah.
And I got confused about Heroes. All I knew was that, like, Hayden was like, save the cheerleader, save the world. You know, I knew she was, like, the cheerleader.
Yeah.
And I knew a few other people.
Which was a ripoff of already another show, too.
Well, I knew a few other people, but for me, like, I don't even know if I started Heroes at the beginning, so, like, maybe this claim is unjustifiable.
Come on, now everyone has to start their show from the beginning.
No, so, but I'm just saying, like, to me, there were so many characters, and I was like, it was hard for me to, like, figure out what was going on, you know?
Yeah.
But I will say the cool thing about Lost is that, like, this is, like, a huge ensemble cast, and I know all their names, which I think is awesome, because sometimes in a lot of shows, you can sit and watch for, like, maybe 5-6 episodes and not know the characters' names, and that always frustrates me.
Yeah. I think it's really sort of important
it makes it,
any
like,
show
connected.
It's really important for, as a writer and as a show creator, to sort of make people know who your characters are so they can care.
Yeah.
But that's the thing.
But it makes you feel like you at least know them, like they're your imaginary friend.
But also think about this. Is this because the structure of the show? Do you enjoy, like, the structure of how it goes? It's the flashbacks.
Yeah.
While at the same time, those flashbacks are supporting,
yeah,
like, the current story.
And also, I do think that the characters are basically,
you,
like, stereotypes.
But what did you think about that, though? Did you know it was going to be like that? Like, it was going to be, like, flashbacks?
I got the hang of it after a few episodes. The format. I mean, they definitely have, like, a structure going,
yeah,
on. Like, after watching, like, let's say 2 episodes, I got what they're going for.
Remember where, like, every episode was going to start with somebody's eye?
Yeah. Like, the first few episodes started with their eye.
Yeah.
Zoom in on their eye.
And which I already think is a cliche transition, but whatever. It works.
It was a little bit, but they stopped it after
a while, so it was kind of like, okay, good. But that's why, like, the show Lost, like, has mass appeal, because you do hit all the stereotypical characters, and they do have the easy metaphors of the eye, you know what I mean, like easy metaphors for the people, you know what I mean,
for, like, the people at the water cooler.
Yeah, the whatever,
so they can
the
be
water
like,
cooler.
They can be like the lowest common denominator can understand it, but it still hits so intense that it's like just like the human story.
You know, I'm not gonna say that I'm like the lowest common denominator, but I find that show, it's very, it's intriguing, and it pulls you in, which,
well,
I think is very good.
I mean, what I mean by lowest common denominator, I don't mean that show is for, like, necessarily stupid people.
But it can reach them.
But
too.
I'm just, yeah, that's what I mean. Like, it can, but that's the ultimate goal of any project, though, if you really think about it. Like, as far as, like, mass appeal audience.
Yeah.
And if you're creating a niche thing and you want to create a niche thing and, like, say
cool.
you want to have, like, something that's only for nurses and, you know, like, all the nurses can get their inside humor,
yeah,
and all their jokes, then that's cool for them.
Finding your demographic.
Yeah, like, that's their demographic. But what I'm saying with Lost and, like, what I mean by lowest common denominator is that you can grab in, like, a lot of people the way that they structure their show.
Yeah.
So, and that means mass appeal. But I think it's awesome, like, all the characters I'm just, like, really intrigued by. Like, I'll say, like, my favorite character is Saeed. I've already numbered, like, my first four.
All right, name your first four, and then we'll break it down.
I like Saeed number one. Like,
what
I pretty
you,
much
liked
him. What are
you doing underneath that blanket, Caitlin?
I'm, like, just rubbing my legs.
Yeah.
I am rubbing my legs.
Okay.
I like to feel them.
So, your first one is what?
Saeed, and then number two is Locke.
And this is at today, since up to the end of season two. This is your top,
yes,
five. Okay.
Number three is Sawyer. Number four is Charlie. Those are my top four right now.
Oh, okay. I thought you were gonna name five.
Oh, I said four.
Oh.
I don't know who my top
five
is, so I can't name my fifth. I haven't determined that yet.
Previously.
Name previously on Carolyn's top four. Joe, can you name your top four characters in Lost as of right now?
Let's see.
The end of season two, almost.
I think right now Sawyer will be my number one. And then it'll be Locke, Saeed, and probably the African dude.
Michael?
The priest guy.
Oh, the priest. So the priest is number four?
I think so.
I think I might pick my number five.
I like the priest, like his character at this point in season two. I like his simpleness. And I like the redemption angle. That's pretty cool, too.
I'm going to name my number five now. Do you have
You should do it.
This is like going out on a limb because he was only in like one episode, but that guy, Dimitri or something like that. What's his name? Dietrich or something? Dimitri? The guy that was in the hatch that left. Like, all of a sudden, just took off, and I don't know where the heck he is.
He just ran.
Yeah.
He just ran into the forest. Hopefully, we'll
What's
find
his
him
name?
Again. Maybe we'll do another radio show like when you finish that part.
See,
of the
now that guy, I don't remember his name fully because he was only in like one episode.
Whatever, he ran. Yeah. He was tired of pushing the button.
But I just want to know more about him. That's why he's my number five. So what's your number five?
My number five. I like Jin.
Jin. He fish.
From at least this part of what we've seen so far, I always find that Michael is always trying to pitch a fight, man. He's always like, what the hell,
he's
man?
He's angry.
He's an angry guy.
He's a pent-up anger.
Okay, Walt! So- Walt! That's all I ever hear is like, Walt! Walt!
He has a lot of pent up.
That's all I remember, like, at the end of season one, the cliffhanger spoiler, when like, they took Walt and he was in the water and they blew up the boat. And all I remember is Michael going, Walt! They took my son, man! They took my son! And then Sawyer rips the bullet out of his own skin.
Oh. So your top five is Sawyer.
That's one of my favorite episodes. Is when they were the episode Adrift. Is when they were both stuck out there. I thought that was a cool.
Yeah.
Visually, I thought that was really awesome too.
Okay, so yours is your top.
Sort of like lifeboat.
Your top five is Sawyer, Locke, Saeed.
Whatever the black dude, Mr. Echo.
Who else? Who's number five?
Jin.
Oh yeah, sorry, Jin.
Because he's like, the others.
The others.
The others.
The others.
End of show.
And then I like
to be continued.
Saeed, Locke, Sawyer, Charlie, and the guy who ran away from the hatch.
All right, let's break it down. So, like, what was your number one?
Saeed.
Why do you like Saeed?
Because he's like, I want to talk about Shannon.
That's it. I'd like to, Boone. Or what's his name? That's his name, right?
Boone.
Boone. I'd like to talk to you about Shannon. Like, I like the way that Saeed talks. That's like, no,
that's why I like him, because I think, like, first of all,
we don't have intelligence. We don't know what's out there. He always talks about all.
I like
smart.
Him because he talks all smart.
He's all intellectual.
He's like, now what is the reasoning behind this matter?
I am Saeed, and I am a torturer. You would know who she is when you buried her. You know how deep it is.
With the bare hands.
If you dig it out, you would know. That's why you are the other.
He's like, I loved her. I loved Shannon. Well, anyway, but I like Saeed. I have to admit, when he was like getting with Shannon, though, I was kind of like,
were
come
you like,
on.
No, don't get with Shannon.
I was like, because I'm not really into the character of Shannon. But the thing that really pissed me off about Shannon is when they had the flashbacks of her in the airport being like telling on Saeed that he was a terrorist.
Or like just, you know, giving away that someone left their bag.
Yeah,
there.
She was like, oh, he left his, even though he like asked her to watch it, you know, and she said, she's like, yeah, whatever, what I'm watching my beauty magazine or whatever she was doing. And then like, you know, like it kind of pissed me off that she just did that. And she was just like, yeah, some like Arab guy just left his bag there. You know, and like, I was like, dude, you know, way to go. Shannon, you know, I was like, good one there.
Way to go, Shannon.
You know, I was
way to
no,
prove your point,
honestly,
how nice you are.
Honestly, like in my head, I was just like, F you, you know. And then like, so in a way, like I kind of felt bad that like they were having like a little thing going on at the island. But I think
I love you, Shannon. I love you.
But so like Shannon wasn't my favorite character. So when he was first getting with her, I was kind of like, oh, but I never like hated him for it. But I was just like, come on, Saeed, you're smarter than that. But I can understand like, you know, why I guess some guys would like her, you know.
She's the typical.
She's like the hot girl.
The typical skimpy hot girl.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I don't think she's like super hot. But, you know, if you're on a desert. You're on a desert island.
She's high school pretty. That's what I describe as high school pretty, is Shannon.
If you're on a deserted island and you're like a single guy like Saeed, you know, of course he does have that photograph of the other lady.
You try to get with Kate, the murderer.
Yeah, well, I don't know.
Don't you say that everyone's a murderer?
Yeah, like everyone, like not everyone, but like I feel like half, maybe they all will reveal their murders later. Because maybe it's purgatory.
Maybe.
Because, like, I feel like half of them are already revealed to be a murderer.
Who is your number two?
Okay, my number two is Locke.
I like, the reason
John Locke.
The reason why I like Locke, he was the first name that I remembered out of the show, too. Like, I was like, what character do you like? Locke. And because, like, you know, it's a great story because, you know, he was paralyzed and then when he got on the island, now he can walk and then he becomes, like, Mr. Jungle Man and shit.
Yeah.
And then, like, he's like, the island... Can't you see, Jack? The island is testing us. You know, The island is a test. Let me go. The reason why we don't... You know, Jack, the reason why we don't get along... What is it? Because he's technical or something?
Oh, yeah. He said something like, because you're a non-believer and I'm a believer or something like that. Or he's technical and I'm a believer.
Yeah, something like that.
But it was awesome because basically Locke, I really like him because he has a mystery around him. Like, there's just something about him, and I still want to learn more about him, but there's something about him I'm like, something about you. And it's like he wanted to open up the hatch and stuff. And part of me was like, maybe they shouldn't open the hatch, but then I knew they would because, you know, to advance the story.
No, you didn't. That wasn't what you were thinking.
No, I was.
We're like, they need to open it to advance the story. So I'm not going to...
No, but you know,
you're looking at it from behind the scenes instead of being engulfed in it.
Yeah,
you're like, I know they're gonna open it because they have to.
Yeah,
and then what in season?
You can just let it be there.
And then what in season two? There's like five hatches like yeah. everywhere.
I was like, whoa. And then
there's hatches everywhere. Why didn't we find this door in the first place?
And also the other camp from the other side, the side that Echo was on.
Yeah,
they found a hatch before the other group.
Well, it's because
they had a worse torment on their side of the island than Jack's side.
It's because, well, also Locke had to find his opening to the hatch was more difficult though.
True, but they still had like more torment. I feel like on the other side.
Yeah, day
we'll,
one
we'll
they
have
got
to find out more. Who knows?
Previously, on Locke.
The Aldous.
Aldous.
And then okay, so my number three, Sawyer. I have to say, Sawyer gained points recently because he's funny. And I like his little, like, comments. He has, like, a nickname for everyone. He's yeah. like, hey, Freckles. He's like, hey, Sunshine.
But I like, he has, like, a swagger to the way he talks.
Like a cowboy swagger.
Yeah. Oh.
Can you do an impression?
No, I don't, I can, I have to know the lines. Maybe you can look up something on YouTube about the
I don't know if I want to look up anything online about Lost because I might.
Well,
get
yeah, that's
spoiled.
True. So you give away
like,
everything.
I accidentally like saw something and I was like, oh no.
Remember? Yeah, because we popped in the wrong disc.
It was by accident too.
But I remember we popped in like the wrong disc on accident when we were watching them, and then it goes previously on Lost, and it's all this stuff that we didn't see before. We're like, what the fuck, this is the wrong disc.
Yeah, but we only saw like 2 seconds of it and we're like, we didn't see that yet, and then we paused.
I was
it.
Like, this is wrong, hold on. Turn this off, this isn't right.
But yeah, like, so what's something that Sawyer would say? He would say something like,
oh yeah,
how about I trade you for them mangoes, Freckles?
It's like,
say something like that.
Maybe we won't trade, but I want something else. Yeah. Or something like that.
But
So what are you going to give me then, huh, sweetheart? Or something like that. I don't know. I need to know like the exact lines because it's his delivery. Like at first, Sawyer, I thought like his character was like so over the top or it's like, you know, on the nose. But then after a while, I was like, this is some funny shit because he doesn't stop doing
it. It's awesome. That's why I like
Sawyer.
Come
on, Stay Puft. What's the problem? Come on, Jen. You trying to be. Oh, you going to.
Remember when
what you guys doing back there?
He called
little
Jin.
Little hanky panky down there, eh?
He called Jin.
I'm a con man.
He called.
I con.
He called Jin Daddy-O. But it's. I like his little nicknames for everyone, and he has a good swagger.
Jack Swagger.
He's probably the best looking one on the island. Or maybe Saeed. I don't know. I don't like Saeed's like long fingernails. It's kind of like, you know, I'm kind of like, can you please clip your fingernails? Yeah, I don't know if that's religious or what.
No, but they're on an island.
I guess
everyone's nails are dirty on the island.
No, it's not dirty. It's just really long.
Yeah,
have you looked at them?
That's method. He's doing it method.
Oh, okay. Well, then I guess that's acceptable.
Come on,
but
sweetheart. You can't like that.
I don't know, but something was like better about Sawyer maybe recently, but I like Saeed too.
Well, Sawyer really doesn't do anything but just cause trouble.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, was it when he stole the guns? He's like,
he's like, I'm the sheriff in this town now.
I'm the sheriff in this town now. I'm the sheriff.
But basically, I want to say something about Jack. He's supposed to be like the main guy, superhero type hero character, I guess, of the show.
Yeah.
Like the leader, the like policeman, etc. main lead guy.
Yeah.
But I don't really feel like super compelled about Jack. Nothing against him. I think he's a good character to have. Yeah,
get
the doctor. I think he's a good character to have. He's saved like practically everyone on the island. Like he's a strong, good male lead. But like something about him that I don't like. And now maybe it will be revealed later, or I don't know, but there's just something about him that I don't really feel like intrigued about.
Because he's a freaking goody-goody, man.
Yeah.
But he's trying to be badass. He's trying to be...
It's like I'd rather be with Sawyer.
He wants to step up to be the Lair.
I'd rather be with Sawyer than Jack.
What do you mean by be?
Like, if I had to, like, hang out with them. You know, like, I'd rather hang out with Sawyer. I'd rather have him on my side than Jack.
You don't want to hang out with Hurley? The fat guy from Lost?
No. Not really. But, like, I'm just...
No, he's a cool guy. He's always like, dude.
He's a cool character, dude. But I don't really want... You know what I mean? Like, I'm just telling you, like, who I'd, like, hang out with on the island. If I was, like, on the island...
Dude, come on, dude.
Okay, basically what I'm saying, if I was on the island, the guys that I'd want to hang with are, like, totally, like, Locke, Saeed. Totally, like, Locke, Saeed.
You would hang out with Saeed? What'd you guys...
Locke, Saeed, and Charlie. I mean, no, I wouldn't hang out with Charlie now, but I would hang out with Locke, Saeed.
I'd like to talk to you about Shannon.
And Sawyer. Like, those would be my guys.
That's great dialogue. And, like, Paul Dini works on it, and Jeff Loeb works on it. Those are, like, comic book
directors. But if you were on the island, like, who would you hang with? Like, who would be your pal? Or who would be, your, like, either your protector or your pal?
I would hang out with... on Lost. That's a good question.
Like, if you were on the island... And you had to, like, you know, like to, you know they like all to, have their circles.
I'd like
of buddies.
To be, I'd like to be where the action is. So most likely, I'll just hang out with Locke.
And so then I'll die. So you'd like be like Boone.
I'll die like Boone.
Oh no! It's the end of the show. We didn't get to talk about MJ.
It's okay. He died. You died, Jack.
I don't know what else to say.
You died, Jack.
I remember in the last show we talked about him. I said Effie Michael, and I want to apologize for that.
We're sorry, Michael.
Rest in peace.
You died, Jack.
I still want to talk just for like 2 minutes about it later on. I need to get it out of my system.
All right, another day, man. Another day.
Another day, another dollar.
Well, that was good. That was real fast.
We need to talk more about Lost, too.
How?
We'll
save it for a special guest next time.
Okay, if you say so.
If you say so.
We should do another show now.
Previously.
Previously on the Carolyn and Joe show.
Maybe I can hook that up. That'd be cool if I could hook that up. All right, guys. We'll catch you next week. I think this will be in August, so happy August and happy end of July. I will...
Say goodbye.
See you later.
Goodbye.
Have a good night.
Good night. The stuff I gave you all that you can drink, and it has never been enough. I gave you blood.